All right, peace, y'all. Peace, peace, peace. So in this video, we're going to be talking about the late comedian Richard Pryor. Now, this was a special request, but Richard Pryor was one of my favorite comedians growing up. And by doing some research and, you know, finding a couple of clips, I really found some interesting things about his life. And like I always say, I'm gonna be respectful to his situation, but I do want to share this with y'all because it's very important. Now, Richard Pryor was born and raised in Deora, Illinois. He was born December 1st, 1940. Now, during this time, he was raised in a brothel by his grandmother. All right. His mother was actually a prostitute. All right. And then when you look at those clips with him and Paul Mooney, with him saying he gave a blowjob to somebody before, he's speaking about when he was a child. All right. So apparently the story goes his grandmother forced him to perform oral activities on an older white dude, all right, as a child.
I sucked a dick. You can get a habit from sucking you know, become a junkie. You can only do it maybe three times. You do it more than that, you get a habit.
You mean, I gotta have a
No, please. Doctor, I have a cock in my mouth. I used to give head to dudes and always say, don't in my mouth.
My father, who art in heaven.
No buts about it.
Now, at the age of 23, after leaving the army, he moved to New York and performed in the nightclubs to get his name going. All right, so he kind of like left the army, got started there, and did a bunch of things from then on. All right, now, Richard Pryor, if you notice his comedy coming up, he kind of followed the footsteps of like Bill Cosby in a sense. All right, he was doing more clean jokes before he got raunchy. He started doing the clean jokes, and then, you know, he stepped off and ventured and did his own thing. Now, with him doing the clean jokes, this was an opportunity for him to land a spot on the Ed Sullivan Show. All right. Now, Richard Pryor actually wrote for a lot of comedians. All right. And television shows like Sanford and Son and the Flip Wilson Show. Right. This is how him and Flip Wilson actually got cool. But I want to show y'all this clip, though. Check out what his bodyguard had to say. Okay, Richard Pryor's bodyguard had to say about those funny Hollywood parties. And y'all tell me if I'm off.
I had the same principles that most men have until you put in certain situations. We all start with the principles. Depends on what you're facing. So I'm not the judge. But I remember with Flip, I'm staying in Malibu, I'm out of Jersey and New York, and you know, the excitement of that. Now I'm in Malibu and it's supposed to be this, but it, you know, but I didn't understand that I'm with a black man that owns his house in Malibu. That's unheard of. Flip made it clear. He said, yeah, there's other black people here. Miles Davis is down the street. He's renting. So-and-so, he's renting. I own my, but I still didn't get it because I'm young. You know, it's like, this is some boring shit out here on Malibu, the white people left and right, what's going on? So Flip one day looked at me and said, oh, you want to see I don't know what it is, but I want to see something other than Malibu. And he took me to the parties. He took me to the to make me understand this is why I don't be around me. And so you've seen the parties. You've seen the people that was the stars and the shit that they was doing and the smells and the looks in their eyes. And I was, you know, in my youth, I kept a cutlass on me. And so I know I'm walking around holding my cutlasses because you've seen people in states of mind that you never experienced nothing like that. I knew people that got high, but they didn't get high and did the shit that I was seeing. And so after I was exposed to it, Flip took me around it about 4 or 5 times. And then he said to me, you see why I don't quit that? Because, you know, you had the group of people that painted their fingernails black, what they call Illuminati now. It was some kind of clique then. And in this clique, you know, we wife swap and all this kind of shit. You can f*** my wife and stand there and watch. And all I seen it. I literally seen all these things. It was like, okay. And in my youth, I wasn't afraid, but I knew I would have hurt somebody if I was approached. I would have hurt somebody.
I think about Flip, you got his famous character, Geraldine.
Right.
Did he, I'm assuming heterosexual black man,
mm-hmm.
did he feel weird about putting on his dress as a woman?
I don't know, because I ain't never put on the dress, but I'm sure from his time and the black folks of that time, when you as a black man put on a dress, automatically, that's what it was, even if you called it an act. So Flip was very aware of that. That was his pain during his entire career, wondering if his generation thought that of him. That was his personal pain. Flip died thinking that. Did they really? And he knew at one point, I had said, you know, why are these guys sharing these stories with me? And I was told, because you're going to tell it. Because nobody asked them that question that you asked me. That never was asked of Flip. The reporters or whatever, they never asked that. Most of your white, black reporters back in the day, they asked the same questions that white reporters ask. So when Flip explained it to me, he said that Geraldine, one, carried him longer than his mother in terms of his livelihood. And the main reason he did Geraldine, he said, was because at that time, Geraldine could say some things as a black woman that a black man couldn't say. And that was his primary reason for doing Geraldine. When he had his show, that was showed one time, I think the last person I heard that owned the Flip Wilson shows was Magic Johnson. I don't know for sure. But Flip said that he did Geraldine to have it to continually uphold the integrity of the black man. And I said, how so? And he said, and if you looked at his shows, which I've had a chance to do, that the who's who of white America from John Wayne on was on his show. And all of them at one point or another would hit on Geraldine, make a pass at her. We could get with you, our history of white men and black women. All of that he revealed on his show. But you would always see Geraldine say to all of them, killer don't play that. Well, killer is this black man. That when you f*** with me, regardless of who you are, John Wayne, killer gonna step to your ass.
Now, in 1980, all right, he became a Freemason and started freebasing, all right? But, sad situation. He burned himself up, all right, in his house by smoking cocaine out of aluminum foil, all right? That was the story, and he admitted that plenty of times. Now, during this time, he had met Pam Grier. We all know who Pam Grier is. She was a Hollywood hottie back in the day, all right? And on the set of Grease Lightning, she actually helped Richard Pryor learn to read, all right, and tried to get him off of drugs.
Hell. If there's a hell, I've been there. There is a hell. And the devil turned out to be me. It'll turn out to be yourself. Because I thought about at one point, look at the opportunity I've been given to do so much. And whatever I end up doing, I got a bass pipe in my hand. And fifth of Cavassier and Eller. In a room all alone by myself. Loving no one and doubting if anyone loved me. I didn't know what I was getting into. That's how I feel. Had I known what I was getting into, I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't have this coming. I wouldn't at all.
What has happened that has soured you?
I came in with an idea, and it's not that anymore. It's the business. It really is. It's awful easy to lead someone else's life. It always has been. And people will find that the best way the rest of their little lives, most people. What someone should have did, or they should have, and they shouldn't. I don't concern myself with that. People don't want to deal with themselves, what hurts them. They don't even know most of the time anymore, because they're so confused, get so many mixed messages. You know? Now it'd be very difficult for me, I believe, at this moment, to get in the kind of situations I used to be in anymore. I don't have the energy for it, to play it, to get to act angry. I see myself doing it. Sometimes I start getting angry, and am I angry? No, you're acting angry. You're playing this game. I don't want to play it with my life anymore. And I just felt all this tremendous stuff inside of me. I can't describe the feeling. It was just positive. And I come out of the hospital when I was new, brand new person. I didn't know what to do. I got scared being new. Didn't know where to go, where to turn. So I turned to my old ways. Something familiar. I wasn't courageous enough just to keep stepping. I didn't know how then. Because somewhere in your mind, in your sickness and your disease, you think they're your friends. You convince yourself those are my friends. And to give you this poison, you gotta realize it not. It takes a while for you to realize you weren't being your friend by being there. And you remove yourself.
I think it had something to do with the people around you.
It had to do with me. Nobody's fault but mine. The people around me because of me. And then you get to people, when you get well, you start removing yourself from the people that are hurting you. No matter what you are or who you are or what you do, there's a you that you must deal with eventually to surrender. That's a hard thing to do for any person, I believe. Just to surrender. I mean, I've quit a lot in my life. I stopped doing this for a while and stopped doing that for a while. But just to stop everything, to surrender, to admit to yourself, God, I need your help. I can't do this alone. That was hard.
Now, Richard was portraying to the world, all right, he was a straight man, all right? But in his autobiography, he actually admitted to being bisexual, all right? And also, he had an on and off relationship with Marlon Brando. Now, I'm going to show y'all this clip because every entertainer, like I said, is not one that's exception to the rules. Every last one of them all sold they soul in some shape, form, or fashion, right? But check this clip out right here, y'all.
But I'd sold my soul, and there was no reason to live anymore, to be a part of the world. I was worthless and useless. If a man had all this opportunity, and all I ended up doing sitting in the house smoking a bass pipe,
Now, Richard Pryor, God rest his soul, had died from a heart attack in 2005. They attributed it to him smoking cigarettes for 4 years straight, right? Not cigarettes, but tobacco. All right. Now, his family said that when he passed away, he died with a smile on his face. So maybe maybe he got some peace of mind. All right. While actually, you know. Passing away. All right. I've heard stories of Eazy-E actually repenting on his deathbed and stuff like that. So maybe Richard Pryor came to his senses a few minutes before he passed. But I just want to let y'all know, man, this stuff right here is no joke, man. Like, the entertainment industry will turn people out, all right? And for the most part, a lot of celebrities go through these things, all right? You just never hear these stories, but it does happen. It really does happen. So salute to everybody, man. I hope y'all enjoyed this video. And I'm going to start doing it like this from now on. All right? Peace.